Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and thank you for joining Africa Link this Monday morning. I'm Crispin Mwakideo in Bonn. Coming up, the United States Ambassador to the UN Security Council, Samantha Power, urges African leaders to push for a solution to the crisis in Burundi.
We think this situation can be brought under control, but for that to happen, the dialogue has to be much more inclusive, much more urgent.
Renewed calls for secession in southeastern Nigeria as Nigeria's Biafra leader Nnamdi Kanu remains in custody.
So me, I cannot belong to Nigeria. I am a real Biafra woman.
We have declared that there is need for us to be defensive ready.
And keep up with the crime fighters as they seek to find the culprits in our Learning by Ear radio drama. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Which way forward? That appears to be the main question in Burundi. The UN Security Council, through the US Ambassador Samantha Power, has urged African leaders to do more to solve the crisis. This comes after Burundi's President Pierre Nkurunziza rejected a proposal by the UN to deploy 5,000 international peacekeepers. More than 400 people have been killed since Nkurunziza declared his bid for a third term, and nearly a quarter million have fled the country. From Bujumbura, Apollinaire Niyorora reports.
During the visit, the UN Security Council met with a wide range of officials within the opposition and the government, including President Pierre Nkurunziza. In a statement issued by the government after the visit, government spokesman Philippe Nzobonariba said the African Union Peace and Security Council should also make similar visit to understand that it is unnecessary to deploy international peacekeepers.
The Burundian government takes this opportunity to invite the AU Peace and Security Council to do as the UN Security Council has done and witness the political and security situation currently in the country. The Burundian government remains convinced that decisions taken by the AU Peace and Security Council were based on erroneous and manipulated reports, disregarding the country's deep reality.
However, speaking at the end of the two-day visit on Friday night at the Bujumbura International Airport, Samantha Power, U.S. ambassador to the U.N. and a member of the U.N. Security Council panel, urged the government to accept AU's peacekeeping plans.
We urge the government to move forward with the first phase of the plan, observers. The best way for the Burundian government to ensure that credible information is out there is to have independent observers in Burundi observing the situation. The one commitment we got was that the government would consider proposals that came to them.
The UN Security Council delegates also had separate meetings with former presidents Jean-Baptiste Bagaza and Domitien Ndayizeye, civil society organizations and religious organizations. Both former presidents confirmed they support the deployment of AU troops to help restore peace and security in Burundi. After meeting with President Nkurunziza in the central province of Gitega, the Security Council delegates called for an urgent and inclusive dialogue to address the country's political stalemate. Samantha Power again.
We think this situation can be brought under control, but for that to happen, the dialogue has to be much more inclusive, much more urgent, and it's not clear that the Ugandan-led process is going to produce results.
After Burundi, the UN Security Council delegates left for Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to discuss with AU officials the way forward for the East African nation.
Apollinaire Niyorora reporting in Bujumbura. Not all in the UN Security Council agree on the same solution to the crisis in Burundi. Russia, a council veto power, has said Burundi does not need peacekeepers, but instead needs help increasing its police capacity. To get a better understanding of how world powers would likely intervene in Burundi, Abubakar Jallo has been speaking to Yolande Buka, an expert on Burundi, with the Institute for Security Studies in Nairobi.
The most important obstacles in the UN Security Council for such a force to be deployed are the two members of the P5, which are China and Russia. However, if the African Union succeeds in getting 2/3 majority of heads of state approving the mission, I think it'd be very difficult for both Russia and China to oppose such a measure. It would be unprecedented, and I think the biggest obstacle to such mission deployment is not necessarily the Security Council, but in fact getting the two-thirds majority that is necessary at the African Union.
Okay, now even the United States, which is also a member of the Security Council, has weighed in, urging African leaders to work behind scenes to convince Burundi to accept a deployment of AU troops. What does the AU need to do more to get Burundi behind its peace plans?
I do not believe that the Burundian government will be swayed into accepting the troops at this time. One way in which the region could put pressure would be to possibly threaten Burundi of being kicked out of some of the regional economic organizations, for instance. But we've seen that economic pressures and targeted sanctions have not been successful in swaying the government into first focusing on reducing violence committed by its own security agents, and two, has not been successful in pushing the government towards mediation. Therefore, I'd be surprised if the international community and regional actors would be successful at this point in convincing President Nkurunziza.
After this visit by the UN Security Council delegation, where is Burundi heading politically and economically?
Well, I think we'll get a better sense of the future trajectory of Burundi following the AU summit and a decision whether to deploy or not deploy troops. At the moment, the country's economy is shrinking at a very rapid rate. There's continued exodus of people from Burundi in steady numbers throughout the various countries. And in terms of stability, the country is now relapsing into patterns of civil war.
Yolande Boka, an expert on Burundi with the Institute for Security Studies in Nairobi.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
To Mali now, where aid agencies have warned that insecurity is hampering health, education and nutrition of children. The Malian central government has been struggling to implement a peace deal with separatist Tuareg rebels in the north. The United Nations Assistant Secretary General Toby Lanza has been meeting with signatories to the peace deal. My colleague Mark Caldwell caught up with him on a telephone line to find out what was causing the difficulties in implementing the peace deal.
I think the entire environment in Mali is very, very complex and has been for a long time, and unfortunately is likely to remain so. There's quite a lot of angst, I would say, amongst the populations in the south and the north, a lot that needs working out.
Some Malian lawmakers are not able to visit their constituencies, and so they're not in a position to find out what is happening on the ground. How can the humanitarian situation in those areas be improved?
Well, you'd be amazed, but despite all of the difficulties, whether it's logistical or a matter of security, there are 98 organizations working on the ground in the north of Mali. You know, over a million people in the north of Mali are receiving assistance. It can be of different sorts. I went and saw a school which had just opened, where children were in a classroom for the first time in 4 years in a place called Kidal. A lot of good work is happening, but I would underline it's a pretty hostile environment for the aid agency up there.
It looks as if the presence of MINUSMA and the French mission Barkhane is not sufficient to stabilise the Sahel region. What needs to be done?
I think there are a couple of things. Always conscious that there needs to be a very regular communication platform and strategy in place between missions of this nature and the local population. So I think all of us, whether we're working from the humanitarian angle or whether we're working on some of the environmental or security challenges up there, all of us have to really do our utmost to have a communication strategy and using local radio stations, meeting women's groups, the elders, and of course the all-important youth is something that I think we can all do better and more of.
Germany is planning to send 650 troops to northern Mali as part of MINUSMA. They will be carrying out reconnaissance work with Dutch forces and providing logistical support in Gao. Now, I understand that Gao is on your itinerary. How challenging an environment will this be for German troops?
I've just spent 2 days and 2 nights in Gao. It's a big town. It's on a river. Much of the city is perfectly safe and stable, and I think the environment up there is conducive for this very generous and timely contribution by Germany.
UN Assistant Secretary General and Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for the Sahel region, Toby Lanza. The US and UK governments have stated that they do not recognize Biafran passports. That's according to The Punch, a Nigerian online daily. The travel document is allegedly being issued by the Movement for the Actualization of the Sovereign State of Biafra, MASOB. There have been renewed calls for independence in the southeastern part of Nigeria after the arrest and detention of one of its leaders, Nnamdi Kanu. As Sam Olukoya reports, this isn't the first time the region has been pushing to break away from Nigeria.
The song of protesters like this, calling for an independent state of Biafra, is growing louder by the day in southeastern Nigeria. The Biafran dream has grown for many like Ime Umo, who now see themselves as Biafrans and not Nigerians.
So me, I cannot belong to Nigeria. I am a real Biafra woman. I have changed myself. Nothing Nigerian people will tell me to say I'm a Nigerian person. I am a Biafra person. Come sun, come rain.
It was this same Biafran dream that led to the Nigerian Civil War in 1967. The Southeast lost the war and remained a part of Nigeria. Many like John Njoku say they are prepared to take up arms again to make the Biafran dream a reality.
There must be arm twisting and flexing of muscles to ensure that Afrans, you know, get their pride of place. And hence, we have declared that there is need for us to be defensive ready. And so I want the Nigerian state to understand that we are defensive ready. We will do our very best to claim our rights, whether they like it or not.
The indigenous people of Biafra is one of the groups leading the struggle for Biafra. The continued detention since last October of its leader, Nnamdi Kanu, has led to a number of protests. Many are known to have been shot dead as security forces quelled the protest. Uzodinma Nwogbe, a civil society activist from southeastern Nigeria, says the government has to carefully handle the quest of the people to succeed in order to stop an escalation of the crisis.
If we are not careful, if these things is not handled maturely, in a very professional way, I foresee danger in future. This was how the Boko Haram guys began their own. The average Igbo man is aggressive in nature. So if you push him to the wall more than he can bear, there is no doubt that he might resort to violence one day.
The threats of a crisis and the increasing clamor among ethnic Igbos for a Biafran state are as a result of frustration with the federal government. According to analysts, extreme poverty in the southeast is forcing many to resort to the old dream of a Biafran state that is independent from the rest of Nigeria.
Sam Olukoya reporting from Lagos. Crime Fighters, our investigative learning by ear radio drama, is up next. Enjoy.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Welcome back to Crime Fighters on the Trail of the Poachers. Our story takes place in a little African town called Bouvel. We're on the fifth episode now, and the plot is thickening. In the last episode, Detective Alan brought Betty Karangi in for questioning because she was having an affair with Patrick, the murder victim. But there was no evidence she was involved in the killing, so Alan let her go. Betty's boyfriend Musa was also brought in. His motive could be jealousy. And remember Mr. G, the elusive poacher? Has Alan's colleague Carl had any luck tracking him down? Today's episode is called The Day of Reckoning. We start by joining a mysterious stranger at Bouvel Airport.
Hello? Yes, Mr. G. Cargo is on board.
I told you you could leave it to me. I know my country. All you need to do is grease a few palms and voila.
Passengers for flight number SF455, please proceed to gate number 2 for boarding.
Mr. G, my plane is ready for boarding. Transport was very well organized. But I have to tell you, we are quite disappointed by quantities this time. We almost made loss. You have to increase supply.
We are doing our best to supply you, Mr. Chang. You can't expect the supply of tusks to be as good as when you first started. There's too much hate from the government right now, and frankly, we've killed almost all the elephants around here.
You do what you have to do. You're our biggest supplier of ivory in this region. But remember, we can destroy you in matter of minute. Maybe you are even working with terrorists. Everybody know that poaching is one of terrorism's biggest source of funding.
Don't you threaten me. I could destroy you the same way.
Sir, your passport and boarding pass, please.
I have to go now, Mr. G. But you and I will have serious discussion.
Here you go, madam.
Thank you. Have a safe flight.
Mr. Chang flies home without raising any suspicions, even though the contents of his luggage are highly illegal. Meanwhile, Alan is interrogating Musa to find out whether he had anything to do with Patrick's violent death.
What's this all about, officer? Where did you take my girlfriend, Betty?
Your girlfriend's fine. Don't you worry. We want to ask you a few questions.
You people are wasting my time. I told you I don't know any Patrick Iganza.
Iganza,
whatever. What about him?
Where were you on the evening of the 15th?
Working.
Where were you working on this day, Musa?
In Bovu jungle. I photograph animals.
Did anybody see you in the forest or were you alone?
Would you please tell me what this is all about?
We're investigating the murder of Patrick Iganza.
What? Murder?
Yes, Musa. Murder.
You think I did it? Why would I kill a man I don't even know?
Here's what I think happened. You found out that your girlfriend Betty was having an affair with Patrick. So you tracked him down and stuck a knife in his chest.
An affair? What? No, Betty wasn't having an affair.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but we have strong evidence that she was having an affair with the victim, Patrick Iganza. Are you sure you didn't know about this, Musa?
I don't know what Betty does when I'm gone, but I trust her.
Fine. You can go for now. But please keep yourself available in case we have any other questions.
And so the saga continues. In Bovu's main television studios, the renowned wildlife conservationist Dr. Susan is doing what she loves best, speaking up for the voiceless.
Welcome to our panel discussion on the topic African wildlife in need of protection or common property. More than 30 elephants are killed in Africa every year by poachers. In an effort to curb the poaching menace, African governments have put new policies in place, including tougher legislation. But the poachers are still finding ways to continue their lucrative illegal trade. In Bovu, hundreds of elephants and rhinos have been butchered for their valuable tusks and horns. We're joined in studio today by the Honourable John Gulu, a Member of Parliament and a keen hunter.
Good afternoon.
And Dr. Susan Galana, the well-known wildlife conservationist.
Good afternoon.
To start us off, Dr. Susan, why are elephants so important to you? Why do you fight so hard to protect them?
Thank you, Anne. To say it like it is, these animals aren't just important to me. They're important to all of us.
All right, but in what way?
A lot of things elephants do. For example, when they pull down trees, you think they're just being destructive, right?
Right.
Wrong. They're actually helping other animals because they make the grassland accessible for other animals to feed on. These elephants dig water holes that retain water so that those other animals can drink. They do all kind of things to maintain the ecosystem.
Interesting. Honorable Gulu, you're a passionate hunter and you enjoy shooting for sport. What's your take on this? Why do you kill animals?
Anne, I was listening to the good doctor here, and while I agree that animals are important,
You have to ask who is more important, animals or humans?
Perhaps you'd like to tell us?
Certainly. When these animals kill and destroy our crops, are we supposed just to sit there and watch them?
So are you telling us that you hunt criminal animals, so to speak?
Of course not. I enjoy the sport of hunting, and I hunt under license. I'm just saying that sometimes when people kill these animals, they are just protecting themselves or their property.
Doctor, what's your two cents on that?
With all due respect, I find this way of thinking primitive and backward. I mean, we have systems to address grievances concerning human-wildlife conflicts. We have courts.
I'm supposed to sue a leopard when it mauls my livestock?
On TV, the debate continues, but the poachers certainly aren't paying attention. They're still out hunting elephants, but anti-poaching cop Carl and his colleagues are on their trail.
Shh! Careful with those twigs, boys. The poachers might hear you and run.
Do you really think we are still here, sir? I mean, we've been combing this jungle for more than 3 hours now.
Our intelligence suggests they must be around here somewhere. Let's keep going. Check all possible hiding places. And remember, they're armed and dangerous.
Hey, boss, I've found something. You've got to see this.
What is it?
Ivory, sir. A lot of ivory.
Oh, my goodness. That really is a lot of ivory.
Shh. Someone's coming.
Quick, take positions, everyone. Don't let them see you.
Okay, fine. Let's hide here. Great.
What?
It's been 4 days since we lost those elephants. Mr. G will eat us alive.
Do you think we'll find them again?
Elephants have a very good memory. They probably smell your stinking breath miles away and make a run for it. They never forget.
Shh. Huh? What was that?
What? Shh. Get your gun. Get your gun.
Freeze. This is the police. You're surrounded. Put your hands up where we can see them.
Shit.
Where do you think you're going? I said freeze.
You shot me.
Officers, cuff them. Don't let them escape.
Right away, sir. Hold out your hands.
Both of you, do not move.
He shot me.
Relax. It's only a leg wound. You shouldn't have tried to run.
You leave me alone. What have we done?
You are under arrest for poaching. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law.
Oh my.
You guys have killed a lot of elephants, huh? Well, this is your day of reckoning.
Did I have to come with you?
Shut up.
So Carl and his team have finally arrested the poachers. Will they lead the police to Mr. G? Only one way to find out. Join us next time for this and more. If you've just missed this episode, you can find it on dw.com/crimefighters. Or come and join us on Facebook. Until next time, it's bye-bye from all of us.
If you missed any part of that drama, don't worry. You can listen to that episode again on Thursday, right here on Africa Link. And now a recap of our main stories. The U.S. ambassador to the UN Security Council, Samantha Power, has called on African leaders to push for a solution to Burundi's crisis. Aid agencies have warned that insecurity is threatening the education, health, and nutrition of Malian children. And the US and UK governments have said they do not recognize Biafran passports being issued in southeastern Nigeria. That's all we had for you. To send us your comments on the stories we've aired, either by sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957 59510. For more news on the continent, visit our webpage dw.com/Africa. Thank you for listening. From me, Crispin Mwakideu, have a good day and do take care.